Many observers of the trial scene were baffled by the visitor from Boston, Donald Cullivan. They could not quite understand why this staid young Catholic, a successful engineer who had taken his degree at Harvard, a husband and the father of three children, should choose to befriend an uneducated, homicidal half-breed whom he knew but slightly and had not seen for 9 years. Cullivan himself said, "My wife doesn't understand it either. Coming out here was something I couldn't afford to do. It meant using a week of my vacation, and money we really need for other things. On the other hand, it was something I couldn't afford not to do. Perry's lawyer wrote me asking if I would be a character witness. The moment I read the letter, I knew I had to do it. Because I'd offered this man my friendship. And because, well, I believe in the life everlasting. All souls can be saved for God." The salvation of a soul, namely Perry Smith's, was an enterprise the deeply Catholic undersheriff and his wife were eager to assist. Although Mrs. Meyer had been rebuffed by Perry when she had suggested a consultation with Father Goubeau, a local priest. Perry said, "Priests and nuns have had their chance with me. I'm still wearing the scars to prove it." And so, during the weekend recess, the Meyers invited Cullivan to eat Sunday dinner with the prisoner in his cell. The opportunity to entertain his friend, play host as it were, delighted Perry, and the planning of the menu, wild goose, stuffed and roasted, with gravy and creamed potatoes and string beans, aspic salad, hot biscuits, cold milk, freshly baked cherry tarts, cheese and coffee, seemed to concern him more than the outcome of the trial, which, to be sure, he did not consider a suspenseful matter. "Those prairie billies, they'll vote to hang fast as pigs eat slop. Look at their eyes. I'll be damned if I'm the only killer in the courtroom." All Sunday morning he prepared to receive his guest. The day was warm, a little windy, and leaf shadows, supple emanations from the tree boughs that brushed the cell's barred window, tantalized Perry's tamed squirrel. Big Red chased the swaying patterns while his master swept and dusted, scrubbed the floor and scoured the toilet and cleared the desk of literary accumulations. The desk was to be the dining table, and once Perry had finished setting it, it looked most inviting, for Mrs. Meyer had donated a linen tablecloth, starched napkins, and her best china and silver. Cullivan was impressed. He whistled when the feast, arriving on trays, was placed upon the table. And before sitting down, he asked the host if he might offer a blessing. The host, head unbowed, cracked his knuckles as Cullivan, with bowed head and palms together, intoned, "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through the mercy of Christ our Lord. Amen." Perry murmuringly remarked that in his opinion any credit due belonged to Mrs. Meyer. "She did all the work." "Well," he said, heaping his guest's plate, "it's good to see you, Don. You look just the same. Haven't changed a bit." Cullivan, in appearance a cautious bank clerk with depleted hair and a face rather difficult to recall, agreed that outwardly he hadn't changed much. But his interior self, the invisible man, was another matter. "I was coasting along. Not knowing God is the only reality. Once you realize that, then everything falls into place. Life has meaning. And so does death. Boy, do you always eat like this?" Perry laughed. "She's really a terrific cook, Mrs. Meyer. You ought to taste your Spanish rice. I've gained 15 pounds since I got here. Of course, I was on the thin side. I'd lost a lot of weight while Dick and me were out on the road riding all to hell and gone. Hardly ever eating a square meal. Hungry as hell most of the time. Mostly, we lived like animals. Dick was always stealing canned stuff out of grocery stores. Baked beans and canned spaghetti. We'd open it up in the car and gobble it cold. Animals. Dick loves to steal. It's an emotional thing with him. A sickness. I'm a thief, too, but only if I don't have the money to pay. Dick, if he was carrying $100 in his pocket, He'd steal a stick of chewing gum.